Good morning. Allow me to lead you in this exercise. Think about the sound of a slowly repeating chime. Empty your heads of all thoughts but this chime. Slowly, softly, yet insistently, it repeats. What does it mean? The door is ajar. The door is ajar. Ponder with me. How is this door ajar? How did it become ajar? Is it a mason jar? Is it a canopic jar? What kind of jar is it? All right, enough of that. Good morning. We're going to talk a little bit about meditation. No offense to the actual art of meditation. There are some very good uses for it. But if you, like me, sometimes think about meditation and sort of the stereotypical trappings around it, it can be very difficult to take it seriously and to think about how this can actually be beneficial to us. I thought about this as I was looking through a couple of things that I wanted to do and realized that I had one preaching slot, so you only get one lesson. So you're welcome. This is one of the things that allows us to get to a point where we have a lesson, is by thinking about things. We just finished a study in Philippians, so I'd like to read a small passage at the end of that. Now, I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, starting in verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, early on in my life, when I heard that verse, it was read from the New King James Version, right? And the New King James actually says, meditate on these things. And that was a word that, kind of sticks in your brain, because it's a very specific word. It's not used all the time. It's not a necessarily a common language kind of a thing. Think is. Sure, we use think all the time. But meditate really seems to have some emphasis there. And I'm actually sad that has been changed in some of the newer translations since then, because I think it really does convey a very important message here. But what does meditate mean? Now, I will tell you that I have no idea. This may be a 15-minute sermon, or it may be slightly longer. I actually wrote notes this morning, and that's different. So bear with me. But being as I was going to read a definition, I figured that was probably important. Meditate, verb, to think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time in silence or with the aid of chanting, for religious or spiritual purposes, or as a method of relaxation. Okay, so that's a traditional definition that everybody is kind of familiar with. And he's like, okay, and you get the chanting, you're home. And it's like, okay, that's in our minds as what meditation is, or think deeply or carefully about something. Plan mentally and consider are the alternate definitions. But that being said, is Philippians calling us to be monks? That's the big question here, right? Is if we look at that and say, okay, well, do we need to like wander around with some sort of chant that we're doing that we maintain meditate because we're supposed to do this? I would call you to consider some previous examples, and we'll look into how this works practically. Go with me to Joshua, the first chapter, all the way back in the Old Testament, near the beginning. Now the Lord tells Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do it, all that is according to that which is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua was told to meditate on the Lord's words day and night. So, of course, that's what he did. Day and night. Did nothing but think, right? Well, no, he had a job to do as well, right? The Lord had commanded him to go out and conquer the land, but had also commanded him to think day and night, to meditate day and night on his word. So how was he supposed to do both things? So what does it take to meditate? How do we justify in our minds the ability to do both things? We have our own lives to lead, right? We're not going to go conquer Israel. That's not our job usually, right? Our jobs are a lot more mundane and boring than that, which is great. But we have things to do. We have families. We have tasks here on this earth that need taken care of. So what does it mean to meditate day and night? We've seen that we have this kind of thing. Well, think about these three things, that meditation requires knowledge and study. You can't think on something with an empty brain. It turns out that in order to think about things, you have to know some things. Look in Psalm, the first chapter. Well, the first Psalm, I suppose, is a better way of terming that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Well, how are you going to meditate on the law if you don't know the law? In Psalm 119, it's used six total times, the word meditation, speaking specifically about the word in many instances. I'll read a couple of those passages. We won't read all six. It's a very long psalm. Otherwise, we would be here for the rest of the time just reading psalms. Blessed are you, O Lord. Verse 12, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. You can't forget things if you don't know them. You can't meditate on things if you don't know them. So meditation requires some knowledge and study. In the book of Ezra, the seventh chapter, there's a very interesting statement, I think, that is made almost in passing, but it really encapsulates the nature of what it is that we are to do with the word. It says in verse 10 of chapter 7 of Ezra, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. So those three steps are in order. You have to know the law in order to practice it. And then you practice it, which gives you the ability to then teach it. So those kinds of things we can learn from the Old Testament and say, okay, well, where does this meditation start? Well, it starts with knowledge. We have to learn the law of the Lord. We have to learn his word. But then what? Okay, great. So we know some things. Are we meditating yet? Not so much. It requires some planning. In order to take the time to think deeply, we have to make the time to think deeply. Think about an example of a jar, okay? It's not a door this time, but we have a jar of a very specific size, and I didn't bring one with me because I didn't want to get rocks all over the place. It's a well-known example here, right, where you have several rocks of large size and then some smaller rocks, and then you have sand. And when you have this jar, if you start off by putting the sand in and then you put the smaller rocks in, there's no space for the bigger rocks. But the cool part about the example is if you dump all that back out, you put the big rocks in first, and then you put the little rocks in, and then you pour the sand in, it all fits, right? So the example is usually used for prioritization and things about, like, setting up your tasks properly and scheduling and all that kind of stuff. But it's actually applicable here, too, because when we look at our time, we have a finite amount of time, and if we fill it with other things, we're not going to have the time or take the time to meditate and to think deeply about some things. It's not something that you do in 30 seconds. Meditation does take some time. So it requires planning. Okay, are we meditating yet? Well, not really. Because now we've planned out to spend some time, and we have something to think about because we've done our study ahead of time. We're not actually doing it yet because meditation requires commitment. Meditation and prayer are not mutually exclusive. If you look at Daniel, the 6th chapter, it's a very familiar passage about Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den during the reign of Darius. And one of the things that I find interesting is if you look at verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. He was committed to this task and this thing that he had set aside to do. He was going to pray 3 times a day. He was going to spend some time in thought with his Lord. And he did so regardless of the fact that he knew, based on the decree that had just been signed, that he would be potentially thrown into a lion's den. And sure enough, he was. We know the rest of the story as well, that the Lord saved him from that. But the point was, he didn't know that ahead of time. He didn't know that the Lord was going to rescue him from that situation. And yet, his commitment was still to do the thing that he had planned to do. So we have those 3 things going for us. If we have some planning, we've made the commitment to go ahead and do that, and we spend some time meditating. What does that practically mean in our lives? I have just a few things to talk about. When we look at practical applications, it can be very easy for us to learn about something and say, yeah, great idea, and then not really know what to do with it. So if I just stop the lesson here, you could go, great, meditation's a good thing, we should do that, and then not do it. One of the very practical things we can do is to start making spiritual applications and to think about the spiritual connections between concepts that we observe in our everyday lives. They parallel our earthly observations. So many times, the things that we observe happening in this world can lead us to meditate upon a concept that is spiritual in nature. What do I mean? Let's take an example. I read a very interesting study on pandemics. Okay, the idea of a disease that spreads rapidly. And there was some researchers that actually took some data from a video game called World of Warcraft, in which they had some event where some initial players were seeded with this zombie virus. And when they would interact with another player, that player would catch it. Now, the game wasn't doing any research. They were just having some fun. However, these scientists went and looked at that and said, wait a second, we can use this as a model for actually figuring out how a plague would spread. And they did some scientific study based on a couple of million players who were just having fun in a game. And it turns out that they were actually able to get some pretty good scientific value out of it. Now, does this have anything to do spiritually with what we're here today for? Not on the surface, right? Like, okay, it's interesting, but it's kind of useless information ultimately. However, there's always a way that we can connect things. Think about it. What did Jesus say? But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Or in other places, bad company corrupts good morals. You see, if you think about it from a spiritual sense, when we allow the influence of just a little bit of evil, it doesn't seem like much, but there's just a little bit, and it starts to corrupt an area of our soul, and then it starts to grow and fester, and soon enough, we've lost our way, and we look back and think, well, that happened rather quickly. Well, and mathematically, when we look at disease and plague spreading and things like that, we're going to get into math here a little bit, but there's different kinds of curves, one of which is a linear thing, which is basically if I have 2 people that are infected And then each one of them only infects one other person, right? So those two people infect two more people. So then there's four, and then those two people infect two more people. So there's two more, right? So it grows at a very slow and steady rate. That's not how disease works, right? Disease happens exponentially. As some people come in contact with more people, they all get infected. They are in individually contact with many more people, and so it grows very quickly. The same thing can happen with sin in our lives as we start with just a little bit, and then it starts to infect other things. We can spend time thinking about the application of a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We can spend a great deal of time thinking about that, and all of that was spurred by a physical observation of something that had nothing to do with spiritual things. And yet, what we are called on to do is to meditate upon the word, right? What does that mean? It means to make time to think about the spiritual applications and the practical ways in which we can better serve our Lord. When we take the time to think about things like that, there's benefit. We plan ahead is the other thing. So we already talked about, meditation requires planning. But in your own personal lives, you're going to have different life patterns than I do, just naturally. However, it means that I can't tell you when the best time to meditate is. But I can give you some suggestions. You're going to have to look at your own markers of times that are good examples. But these are times when you find your mind wandering or doing nothing, or times when you find yourself turning on music or a show to fill empty space. Basically, times that you observe that occur repeatedly when you're not necessarily doing something that your mind has to focus on, right? So normally speaking, you're not going to meditate while you are designing a rocket. That's hard for most people, probably. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody who's like, yeah, that's a repetitive motion, whatever. I design rockets all day long. But the idea is we're not talking about times that you're trying to fill that you are specifically working on something else. But repetitive tasks that require little to no thought. I came up with a couple of things. What if you have to do some filing? You've got a whole bunch of papers, and you're filing them away. Or you've got documents that you're filing electronically. Or, whatever it happens to be. You're kind of looking for patterns. You're doing some things. But there's not a whole lot of thought going on. That's actually a good time. Doing laundry. Okay, well, you got to sort by color. And probably by delicate or not delicate. But other than that, you're kind of just throwing things in the laundry, and then you got to wait for, 30 minutes, and then you got to get it back out and do some more things. And during all that whole time, what is your mind doing? Probably not a whole lot. Stocking shelves. I mean, you can come up with your own times that you're just doing things that don't require a lot of thought. use caution with this one, but driving. If you are a very practiced driver, a lot of times you will find yourself mechanically going to work or mechanically going to the place that you've been to hundreds of times, and your mind isn't doing anything. Your eyes are watching traffic. You're making those physical responses and adjustments as necessary, but you're not really thinking about much, let's be honest. Some good time to think. Meditation doesn't require you to have your eyes closed, and in that very specific example, I would encourage you not to close your eyes. Other than to blink. You do have to do that. There are many times that we can look at that are also static. When you're getting ready to go to bed, when you're getting up in the morning and starting to get ready for your day. All those kinds of things when you're sitting down and eating a meal, especially if you're eating by yourself, a lot of times those are just dead space times. And that gives us an opportunity to fill that time with something spiritual, to fill that time with thinking about the word and our lives as we lead them to try to give greater glory to God. All of this is kind of to wrap around a subject, which is that how do we become more spiritual people? There are many ways in which we exhibit our spiritual nature, but how do we become more spiritual? It is by thinking about things and by starting to internalize the concepts that we learn about. If we do nothing more than read the Word occasionally and go to church, we're not really going to internalize how to be a Christian, how to be the right kind of person. And so spending some time in deep thought is actually very important because it allows us, it allows our subconscious and our conscious brain to work together to unpack the things that God has given us. Because inside the Word are so many concepts. There's more than we could ever understand in a lifetime, and yet we're called on to practice this Word. But God's given us brains. He's given us the tools to work with to take that knowledge and to unpack it and to understand it. And he has promised that he will help us to understand those things, right? Ask for wisdom, James says, and he will give it to you. But ask in faith, right? The idea is we have to trust that by doing the right things and by spending the time to meditate on the Word and to do what he says, that we will get greater understanding. And that is the case, because if we don't trust that that's going to happen, that's going to make it to where we can't really spend the time thinking. And even if we start thinking about things, if we're doubting that it's going to do any good, your brain's going to wander. It's going to falter out on that process, and you're not really going to process the information to really gain wisdom. So you have to come at it from a standpoint of understanding that it will work, because if you don't think it's going to work, it won't. But if you start off with the premise that A, God knows what he's doing, and B, he's told us that it will work, I think we can take great comfort in that and realize that we can spend some time that we have made, that we have purposed in our heart, that we're going to spend some time thinking about the Word and really process those things and meditate. And it doesn't require you to come up with a special chant. It doesn't require that chime or the door is ajar or any of those kinds of things. That was all in jest. But what it does require is a patient and still mind and the ability to block other things, to focus. In America, focus is hard. We have a lot of distractions. There are a lot of things going on from day to day that can cause us to look at other things and to completely fail at what meditation is really aiming at, which is to focus your brain on a concept so that you can dive deeper. Go below the surface. Don't just touch on thoughts and say, yeah, that's a spiritual concept. I should think more about that sometime. Make that sometime real. All of this does no good to the procrastinator, right? Because eventually I'll meditate on some things. Eventually I'll pray about some things. Do it. Spend the time to think about it. And I promise you that it'll be worth your while, because over time, as you think about things, that will encourage your brain to start coming up with other things to think about. It's not like you're going to run out of things to meditate on. As you think about more things, it will spread. It will exponentially grow the things that you want to think about. And you can fill your time meditating on the Word to think about those things which are true and right and honorable and of good repute, as Philippians says. We can spend that time. We can make our lives better before God, because those things that we spend our time thinking on are the things that manifest in our hearts. And the things that manifest in our hearts are the things that we act on. So if we're spending our time thinking about worthless things, eventually that translates through to us doing worthless things. If we're thinking about things that are honorable and righteous and just, eventually that manifests it in actions that are the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the kinds of things we want to do. And as I did this morning, don't be afraid to take notes. Meditation is a mental action, but it doesn't mean that it has to stop in your brain. Write things down if it helps. Not everybody can keep track of an encyclopedia in their brain. Take notes. Think about what you want to do next. Think about what you want to think about next. And by planning these things, by committing to them, and by preparing to meditate, we can all make our lives a little better in service to our God. Just some things to think about this morning. Let's stand and sing.